At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
That is the truth. Everybody's got their something. Every single one of us to various levels. My name is Chad Hartman. Here's Dave Harrigan. We are together now 3 years as of today.
Happy anniversary, Chad.
Happy to you, too. Love working with you. You're a great human being. And I am a better knowing you as well as I know you. Thank you so much for listening. We're here until 3. No major. We sent major video, though, about a half hour ago.
Yeah. Hasn't responded.
Yeah. It was basically, how much do you miss us? 0 to 10, you said 17, I think I said infinity. Heisman. The Heisman.
That's a lot.
Mike Carter called him yesterday, wanted some of his hijinks. Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Apparently phones don't work anymore.
Maybe it's me. Maybe it's time to look deeply in that mirror.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say it, but I was thinking it.
Yeah. And then Carter says, hey, your short haircut, don't like it as much. I appreciated that.
I mean, the honesty? You like the honesty?
I like the honesty. Because almost every time somebody says, hey, nice haircut.
You say, I got a mullet cut.
Yeah. He didn't, you know, say it's horrible.
No. He said he preferred it long.
Yeah. I kind of do, too. I want the summer cut. Do you ever think, you have kind of the standard hair, right?
I keep it very short because I have very thick and curly hair. I can't stand when it gets, I'm actually thinking of haircut today. And it's been about 4 weeks since I got it real short.
When is the last time, can we post a picture somewhere today on the Twitter machine of you with thick and curly hair?
There isn't one.
So this is like since you're 5, you're done with the thick, curly hair?
When I was very young, I'm sure my mom would have me grow it out because, the curls were just so cute a little bit. But no, I've always hated when it gets, maybe an inch and a half long. That's too much. Got to go down.
Wow. Let's go. Let it grow out.
I can't. I get a white man afro. It's not good.
Doesn't work?
No, it does not work.
Man, do you just think it doesn't work, but others might think it works?
I think it looks terrible. I think it feels terrible. Other than that, it's great.
How about Lindsay? What does the gal think of it?
She doesn't mind when I get the haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's not crazy about the long hair either?
Not really.
Okay.
It grows out on the sides and it gets frizzy and it's bad.
It's not a good look. Okay. All right. I'm willing to see it and then also tell you it looks terrible.
Well, I'll just not cut my hair for about 4 months just for you.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. Speaking of annoying, let's get into it with the neighbors. What annoys us most about a neighbor? Maybe it's your neighbor right now. Maybe it's a neighbor you've had in the past. You know, no, it's not the St. Louis Park situation. Don't shoot the basketball. What is most annoying about a neighbor? I will say this, and I'm moving relatively soon. I know my neighbors already. They're very nice. I'm not going to have a problem with the neighbors on either side. I'm lucky. They're great people. I've never had a major issue with any neighbor. I don't think my entire life. I had big name TV star as a neighbor about 20 some years ago.
Really?
Any guesses?
Big name TV. Are we talking locally or?
Locally. No, Walter Cronkite was next.
Well, I mean, maybe somebody from, you know, Hollywood had some sort of second home in your neighborhood. I don't know.
Yeah. My neighborhood wasn't exactly set up for like George Clooney.
Well, you've got the two gates to get into it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had gates up at our house. That's when the kids were really little. Mm-hmm. Those are the only gates I've had. Passel.
Oh, really?
I live next to Passel.
Okay.
Yeah. We hardly ever saw each other, though. Our hours were so different. I would see Passel more at the fair than I would ever see him. Now, one time he knocked at my house at 11 o'clock.
At night.
At night.
It's a little late.
It was a little late. I think I've talked about this one night before. They offered me the Channel 9 sports gig in the aughts.
Was he making the offer at 11 o'clock at night at your doorstep?
He had proposed it. A couple of the people who are still there liked the idea. And so they told him, are you interested? We all think you're the right fit. And I thought about it for a little bit. The idea was I was going to keep working the Fan, too. And quit the Wolves and do that. And I was flattered, but just don't think that's my deal. I just think other people are way better at it, and then it didn't really appeal to me. So that's one time Passel knocked on my door at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, but I would see him way more at the fair. I've been lucky. I don't have any issues, but I did have a neighbor recently cutting the grass at 6:40 in the morning.
That's a little early.
On a Sunday.
Mm-mm. That's completely unacceptable.
That is.
Especially on a weekend.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's acceptable Monday through Friday either.
I don't think it's either, but it's worse on a weekend when you can anticipate people
correct.
Trying to sleep a little later, perhaps.
That is correct. Now, you had a neighbor today where they were cutting the grass at 7 a.m., but it was a service,
yes.
So let's debate this.
It was the lawn service guy, and it was right almost on the dot at 7 o'clock. I was already up. I had been prepping for the show since 3. But I was up.
Send me prep. Now, I will say this. Some of it's kid-related. You send me the prep at like 6:30. And I've told you, you could send it to me at 10:30.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
The kids are usually getting out of bed around 7. That's why I got to wake them up and get them going. And
right.
At that point, I'm not prepping.
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah, the world could end in from 6:30 to noon, and Dave wouldn't know.
Yeah, and this was, you know, this wasn't, you know, your little, you know, your little Toro, you know, neighborhood lawnmower. This was the big job. You know, the guy riding on the back, he doesn't have to walk. He's just got the
look
thing.
Was even better. You know,
yes, yeah, 7 a.m. And keep in mind, this is after 2 days straight of drenching, pouring.
Yes.
Soaking rain, so the grass is still completely soaked. I looked out the window, and you know he's got the grass shooting out the one side, but it's basically a typhoon of water and a little bit of grass.
So okay, so let me jump in as I'm wont to do. Is this the lawn service trying to make up for missed time?
Got to be
from Wednesday and Thursday. So this was a little out of the ordinary. They're normally not there at 7. They got dollar bills. They got bills to pay.
He's normally there a little later. It's usually morning, but I think around 8:30 or 9. But, yes, this was early. I'm sure he's got a lot of people he's got to get in today, maybe sneak it in tomorrow before the rain comes. I don't know. But
according to you and Jamie Ukas the other day, you should have walked right over there, laid in front of the lawnmower, and stopped him.
No, laying in front would have been passive-aggressive. You just walk over and slug him is what you do.
Okay.
But, no, I get it. You got people to serve, but you're also just making nothing but clumps of grass in the lawn.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, probably cutting ruts through it with the tires on the soft dirt.
As a former multi-year ground screw guy.
Multi-year.
Yeah. I think for like 4 years. Control data. Ground screw.
I was a landscaper
for
a summer.
For 1 year?
1 summer.
The GOP majority whip, Tom Emmer.
That's right.
We were on the ground screw.
That's right. Now he won't even take your calls.
Now he won't take my calls. but I'm interacting with his son. On Twitter. Seems like a very nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, trust me. I know father and sons are totally different, so it has nothing to do with Tom Sr. I still think Tom Emmer is a decent guy. I really do. It's just he's mad because I called him out for his nonsense, and now he just only wants to go on softball radio, which, join the crew. Join the crew. Yeah, you shouldn't be cutting the grass when it's sopping wet.
I agree. It's bad form.
That's a guy right there who would cut the grass when it's sopping wet.
Oh, Carter.
Would.
No, yeah. He'd pay somebody to cut it.
He would.
Wet.
So what, maybe an actual experience, maybe it's going on right now or something you fear, what would annoy you about your neighbors? So should we go correct and wrong answers only?
I think that's fine, yeah. We don't have to know whether the correct or wrong. Just tell us something.
Exactly. Decadent parties. That could be correct or that could be incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Playing music early or late. That could be correct or that one's not as funny. But The decadent parties are pretty good. Like, if you're next to a neighbor who's having parties over and over again, and you're kind of like Carter, you take your teeth out at 6:30. That whole show takes their teeth out at 6:30. Like, Josephson goes to bed, mm-hmm. Carter goes to bed,
yeah.
Early Jordana. It's the Golden Girls show.
It is.
It's the take your teeth out show. And by the way, maybe it's a better way to live.
So you got to get it your full 8 hours.
Yeah.
They're getting 12.
That is correct. 651-461-9226. Annoying neighbors, what bugs you most? Right here. Reach out on the Harrigan Hotlines on the home of the Twins. Red hot Minnesota Twins, WCCO. I know the song.
A little Stevie Nicks for you?
Yeah.
Leather and Lace?
Yeah. Is that what you're wearing later tonight?
That's what I'm wearing right now, Chad.
Okay.
It's my gift to you, this being our third anniversary, the traditional third anniversary gift, Chad. I don't know if you're aware.
I didn't.
Is leather.
Is it leather?
So we have songs all associated with leather.
I've owned two leather coats.
I used to have one.
I have one now that I think actually is pretty stylish that we went on a WCCO radio trip to Italy.
Mm.
I did buy one. I think I'm wearing it twice. I like it.
Your leather pants look good on you, too.
I wear those just around the house without a shirt. Then in the 90s, I had kind of the, you know, not full length, but maybe down to the mid-thigh.
Okay.
And it was kind of the thing back
yes,
then.
Yes, it was.
You know? It was...
I've got a leather Speedo, but that's it.
Okay. Are the leather coats, certainly for gals... They're still in.
Mm-hmm.
Guys in leather coats.
Not as in as they used to
no.
be, but I think it still works.
I do, too. Like, the one I have now, by the way, it might have been the most inexpensive. It was very Harrigan-like. Compared to most leather jackets mm-hmm. in Italy, oh, my God. It was beneath the dollar store. I like it, but it's a smaller jacket. I mean, it's like small. I'm wearing a little jacket now because... It's fake 67 out today. Yeah. It feels like it's 50. It's shorter than this one. You know, it shows off
like
the pipes.
A midriff kind of thing?
It's a halter top. We'll put that on the Twitter machine. All right. Annoying neighbors. What do you got? A neighbor who doesn't return tools. I actually have tools. No one has borrowed. Well... The kids, when the kids were younger, there'd be tools all over the house. The worst part of my neighbor is that they have a large picture window in the back of their home, which allows me to see directly in their home. And 89% of the time, the homeowner's naked walking around. He looks like Benny Hill. That'd be a problem. You got the Benny Hill.
A little yakety sax?
Yes, you got that right there. Not addressing... The barking dog. Yeah, a dog can be an issue, including a small dog that you're afraid you're going to run over with your car on a regular basis. That may have been an example previously. And a dog I really like, but a dog that was very jittery, probably because the dog was so small and people almost ran him over all the time. Are you finding Benny Hill here?
I found one, but that's not the right song.
My neighbor feeds stray wild cats. If I leave anything in my yard, the cats pee on it. Not good.
No, I don't like that.
Not good. My mother, who I don't talk about a lot, she right now feeds stray wild cats and causes her issues.
I bet.
Where she lives and ends up being told to leave. Because of the stray wild cat situation. My wife is convinced that our neighbor waits for us to begin eating lunch outside on her deck and then starts mowing the lawn.
Oh. the Saturday 6 p.m. lawnmowers. We've got one of those in the neighborhood. There are a few houses down, so it's not a terrible thing. But it is clockwork.
Yeah, that is true. A neighbor that cannot stop themselves coming over on a regular basis and yakking every time they see me. Literally every time the person has. That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Neighbors who hide their junk behind the shed so they can't see them, but I see it through the chain link fence. Yes, that's a good one. If it's hidden from their view in the house, but it's staring right at you, that gets old.
Yes, it does.
That gets old, but I think there's a lot of people out there who are that neighbor. I had five chickens. We're reading neighbors. What would annoy you about neighbors? I had five chickens a few years ago. We had, okay, in the hood, all of a sudden the police were there a couple weeks ago, and I saw my friend Matthew, who's very good friends with Quentin. And I'm like, Matthew, what's going on? Because it was kitty corner from his house. He goes, there's chickens in the neighbor's backyard, so I'm coming over to see it. We're in a quintessential suburbia Plymouth neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We get turkeys occasionally.
Yep, you get the wild turkeys.
Maybe a deer occasionally. Not chickens. And there were multiple Plymouth police officers there. Okay. How about that one? I had five chickens a few years ago. The kids loved them. Hens produced some quality eggs. My neighbor did not like the hens. One of the girls was terrified. Obviously, my neighbor had a problem with chickens and all things fowl. Oh, my God.
Rather, my neighbor would have hens than roosters.
Yeah, that's true. Being a drug dealer, problem. Parking an old crappy pontoon in your driveway on the street the entire summer.
Oh, that's bad.
Barking in a mean dog. Well, I'll say this. One neighbor of mine, years and years ago, this is one of my niece, Callie, one of the greatest individuals on the planet. My niece is such a great human being. This one, she was helping me out with the boys when I was working here and I needed somebody to watch the kids when they were younger. And one of the days she's late and I'm like, God, where's Callie? Callie's always on time. She calls him like, hey, everything okay? I know I'm in the driveway and there are two huge dogs surrounding me right now and I don't feel comfortable. And it was my neighbors. Within 2 days, they had put up a fence for their dogs.
Good. That's one of my great pet peeves, unleashed dogs.
Yes.
You don't have a fence because Dylan and I used to run all the time, and it would be the same people in the neighborhoods over and over who's, hey, let their dog out to go use the bathroom or just hang out in the yard, and then they're chasing us down the street.
No.
Time and time again.
Neighbors having a party around a fire pit with loud laughing and carrying on until 2 a.m., and I sleep with the windows open. It seemed like, God, when was it? It was about a decade ago where we had the Minneapolis fire pit crisis about every other day. Where, especially Minneapolis, where, you know, we want our environment to be perfect and flawless and the combustible engine is evil. That if anybody had, like, a fire pit, and I'm not the biggest fire pit guy myself. I like them. They're fine.
No, overrated. Bonfires, overrated.
I think they are, to be honest. Although I'm actually texting with my buddy Patrick Hunt on another matter. So, Patrick, this is, God, I should text Patrick. This may be 20 years ago when Patrick was talking about making a fire pit at my father's place on the water. You would have thought Patrick was organizing Waco. So my father got just a huge Donnybrook over the little fire that Patrick was going to set up. But, yeah, the fire pit doesn't do that much for me.
No, it's the smoke. It's bad. It's always blowing in your face. Speaking of firework, by the way, we're hitting fireworks season.
Yeah.
There's a great annoyance for neighbors.
Oh, yeah. I have not heard anything so far. Have you?
I've heard them. They started last week.
Really?
Yep.
Last weekend?
Last weekend. There were some going.
Okay, that's absurd. 2 weeks before the weekend? What percentage of people are actually working next week, by the way? We're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I'm here Thursday, too.
Are you here Thursday?
Yeah, it was a ball game for most of it, but yeah. I'm here.
I'm taking it off, but the chances are we're not going to be on anyway.
Yeah, maybe an hour, half hour. It's an early game, like I think 11:10.
Let's not forget, our cutoff is 2:10, baby.
Your cutoff.
Well, for the game to be finished, because then the endless Twins postgame show, which just goes on. I thought it might shorten up that Atterbury became the play-by-play guy. Nope.
I got a lot to say.
No, and we have like 17 different people who might be hosting the pre-half, the pre and postgame. I never know who's going to be hosting. Seems like it's Gino most of the time, and now it's the new guy. Then we had Lexi for a while. They rotate him in and out. Okay, more serious. A number of important Supreme Court rulings. Justin Kroll from Williams College. He's excellent on the Supreme Court, and he's next. Final day of the Supreme Court for this year, so you knew a bevy of rulings were coming down the line. This man has joined us numerous times over the last few years. He's very good on the Supreme Court from Williams College. Justin Kroll is with us. Justin, like all of our guests today and all the guests on all the shows going forward, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Justin, I want to get to specifics, but a lot of people like to make broad, generalized, and sometimes the generalizing conclusions are not accurate. But I've heard a lot of people talking about, well, this is a day about the Trump court. This is a day about, you know, the conservatives who are there. But then when you add the three justices on some of these key rulings, including on limiting lower federal courts in the matter related to birthright citizenship, this is exactly what people should have expected when Donald Trump added Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Coney Barrett. Do you agree with that broad assessment?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little tricky if we're thinking about the Trump court, because if we're thinking about those three justices in terms of Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Coney Barrett, they were only together, I think, on three of the five cases today, right? I mean, really what we saw today was we saw five cases decided by 6-3 opinions. In each of the five cases, Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch voted together. In each of the five cases, Jackson, Sotomayor, and Kagan voted together. And in each of the five cases, Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Barrett voted together, I believe. So you had kind of three blocks of three today. And in three of the five cases that were decided today, the Roberts, Kavanaugh, Barrett trio sided with the super conservative wing of the court, and in two of them sided with the liberal wing of the court. So
okay.
I think it's a little tricky to talk about the Trump court specifically, because Gorsuch is kind of in one block on this court, and Barrett and Kavanaugh are in a somewhat different one.
Okay, so let's talk about the ruling that was related to the first day when the president seemingly signed about 5,000 executive orders, including pursuing the end of birthright citizenship. And like a number of his rulings, executive orders, this was slowed by a federal judge. So this is limiting that. We have 1,000-plus federal judges, obviously lower than the Supreme Court. What does this mean going forward?
Okay, so the case today, which was on universal or sometimes called nationwide injunctions, which is the ability of a district court judge, you know, anywhere in the country, it could be in Minnesota, it could be in Florida, it could be in New Hampshire, a district court judge to stop or place an injunction on the enforcement of federal law or, in this instance, an executive order. And so this case, which concerned the birthright citizenship executive order, wasn't really about birthright citizenship per se.
Yeah.
It was about the ability of federal court judges to issue these sorts of injunctions. And this has been going on a lot during the Trump administration, but it also went on during the Biden administration, and it also went on during the Obama administration. In those instances, it was Republican judges, for the most part, issuing nationwide injunctions against Democratic presidents. Here we've obviously got generally Democratic judges issuing an injunction against a Republican president. So what this means, what the court said today, basically, was that federal judges are not able to kind of place a broad injunction on the enforcement of either executive order or federal law across the land. What they can do is they can place an injunction on the enforcement of that related to the litigants that are before them, the litigants who are in their jurisdiction.
Okay.
So it's not as though a federal judge, you know, in Minnesota, say, could not issue an injunction related to litigants in front of him or her in their courtroom. It's that that would not apply to litigants in other jurisdictions. And so what that does is that makes it a lot easier, critics of the ruling would say today, for the administration to engage in illegal or legally questionable action and not be able to be stopped, because it would, you would need someone in every federal district court across the nation to run to court and get an injunction.
Okay, so can I jump in on this and play
sure.
this out? Because I think this is enormous, and I know I'm not looking at my text right now, but I guarantee you there are a lot of Trump and MAGA supporters saying, great day, great day. Guess what? If it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who's the next president, and she's offering up these type of rulings, they're not going to feel the same way. So next week, knowing Donald Trump like we all do, I'm assuming he's going to come up with another executive order that he's wanted. And as you said, a federal court in that jurisdiction can try to stop it. But how would that then move through the courts and eventually potentially get to the Supreme Court? I mean, seems like it's a lot slower than just because of that, right?
100%. So two things. One, I think on your first point mentioning, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, I mean, this may well be a sort of ruling that Republicans will come to lament in when there is next a Democratic president.
Yeah.
Right? This is very much a where you stand depends upon where you sit.
Yes.
And Republican lawmakers really pioneered this or I should say exacerbated this during the Obama administration, whether it was DACA or other things, that Republican lawmakers and Republican litigants ran to conservative judges in places like North Texas and got nationwide injunctions. And that was the kind of like real uptick in that. And now it has continued during the Trump administration. So 100%, what's good for the goose is good for the gander there. And they may see that come back to bite them. Second, on kind of birthright citizenship specifically, so there are challenges already in the working their way through the court system on the existing birthright citizenship executive order. Those will the administration, I should say, has already said that if it loses on those, it's going to appeal to the Supreme Court. So you're going to see birthright citizenship or the executive order eliminating birthright citizenship on the Supreme Court docket almost certainly in the fall. It hasn't happened yet because those cases haven't been scheduled for argument and decided by lower courts. But this will ultimately work its way up to the Supreme Court, and the court will have to make a decision on the merits, not just on the technicality of this injunction. In the meantime, as you suggested, yes, that is going to – stopping those executive orders or stopping this executive order is going to take a lot more time now and a lot more effort. Now, the court did leave open some possibilities today. And one of them, which we've already seen some litigation organizations pursue this morning or this afternoon, is to try to have individual litigants certified as a class and basically have it be a class action.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So that would be one possibility that would kind of eliminate the need for there to be a lawyer in every federal district across the nation filing for an individual injunction. You're already seeing that they're going to try to do this via class action
so,
to stop it, if not nationwide, at least more broadly than individuals.
So let me ask you, as someone who studies this, obviously Justice Sotomayor was incredibly outspoken. She called it a travesty to the rule of law. Where do you stand on this? Listen, we want to have our checks and balances. We need to have our checks and balances. As we both have said, you can't just be for checks and balances when it favors your side. Does Justin Crow, Supreme Court expert from Williams College, believe that one federal judge out of 1,000 should stop the process? Or do you think it should be, in this case, the way it's ruled today, in this one area, and then you maybe have the class action wherever it might go? Where is the kind of the yin and yang which we want? We want to have presidents with authority, but we want Congress, we want the courts to play that part so it doesn't turn into a authoritarianism.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent question, right? This is not anybody who comes out and says this is a really simple issue, I think, is not thinking through the nuance of what's going on here. On the one hand, you have a president who is elected by a majority of American citizens, both popular and the Electoral College, who is trying to act expeditiously to do something that he thinks is beneficial for the nation. I don't don't agree on the merits of the birthright citizenship thing, and I think that's I think that executive order is unconstitutional. But on the one hand, right, if we take back to a different era, there were things that Biden or Obama might have tried to do that people might have said, okay, these are legitimate or at least reasonable executive orders. We want, on the one hand, executive actors to have some degree of agency in pursuing federal law enforcement. On the other hand, we very much do not want a system in which political actors, specifically the executive branch, can run roughshod over the constitutional rights of millions of American citizens, especially here with an executive branch and with a presidency that has shown a willingness to play fast and loose with due process protections.
Yes.
And to flaunt judicial orders and to flirt with the idea of defying or obstructing federal judicial orders. So I think the balance that you have here is between, on the one hand, what we might think of as kind of democratic agency and energy, which the president is supposed to represent, small d democratic, that is, and on the other hand, a kind of rule of law, due process protection. I mean, I don't have any sympathy or any favor toward the president's position on birthright citizenship here. But I do think the growing use of nationwide injunctions of individual district court judges who are often selected, the lawsuits are often filed in very specific locales because the litigants are quite certain they're going to get the ruling that they want. It's known as forum shopping. I think that has become a kind of problem for the system. If we remember, right, one federal district court judge is only supposed to serve and only supposed to have jurisdiction over his or her district.
Yeah, exactly.
This is an unelected official. And for now, to us give that person and to give 1,000 of them the opportunity to enjoin federal action of mm-hmm. an elected national official whenever they see a constitutional violation, I think risks turning federal district judges into much more powerful kind of overseers of law than we should probably want them to be. That said, that's my core position. But that said, I mean, I think Sotomayor and Jackson's concerns here that in the meantime, individuals' constitutional rights are being trampled upon and that we cannot have a good faith assumption that the administration is going to care about those as opposed to shoot now and aim later, raises some real concerns about the way in which our kind of federal judicial process can work in an era where the executive is just passing executive orders left and right. And that has become a real problem. The executive can act so much quicker than courts have. Courts can. And so the nationwide injunction has been the one way in which courts can slow down executive action and take a breath and try to make sure that people's rights are not being violated.
Thank you, Justin. Very good information. Enjoy the day, and we'll reach out again.
All right. Take care, Chad.
Justin Crowe, Williams College on the Supreme Court. You want to react? You can. 651-461-9226.